Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, everybody. We had an awesome sold-out event in Arizona on Saturday where I interviewed Bill Kristol, which we're going to use for the Monday podcast today. We've got some plans for a bunch more events coming up later this year, hopefully bigger venues. We appreciate you all want to come out to see us. I'm very much looking forward to that, so stay tuned for that. But up next on this podcast, Bill and I spoke a lot about this Time magazine article by Philip Holzinger. He's a photojournalist, actually, from Nashville, but he's been on the ground in San Salvador working on a book, and he got unbelievable access to these flights of Venezuelans that we've been sending to that San Salvador hellscape with no due process. And that article had broke right before we went on stage. So we start by talking about that. But since then, there's one other specific case I just want to bring up. And that is this gay Venezuelan barber, makeup artist named Andre. Lindsay Tislowski, who we interviewed over on our YouTube, if you want to check that out, is his lawyer and has been publicizing information about this man. And she posted a few pictures of him. And we'll put all of this stuff in the link to the show notes. And I got to tell you, this one has hit me pretty hard. She wrote this when she posted the pictures. This is our client, Andre, who's been disappeared by the Trump administration. Tonight, he's in a Salvadoran prison notorious for human rights violations. He has a brother and a son, a makeup artist. And like many of us, he has tattoos. If you look at these pictures, who the hell knows, right? I don't know Andre. I don't know the story. Maybe this is like a West Side Story situation and he's a gay gang member. Maybe he's like Derek for real from the movie Blow, the hairstylist that was helping Johnny Depp bring cocaine in from Colombia. You know, anything in this world is possible. But if you look at these pictures, it seems like this man is being tortured and that he was rightfully fleeing from communism, fleeing from oppression and coming to the country that throughout its history has been a beacon for people such as him throughout the world fleeing oppression. And the fact that we are the ones that are sending him to this hellscape without any due process is horrendous. And if he is Derek for real, then the government needs to fucking prove it. And Tom Homan was on the Sunday shows this weekend basically saying, you just got to trust. I trust our guys. I trust our guys. If they say he's trying to Aragua, he's trying to Aragua. And I'm sorry, that's not good enough for me. That's not how this works in a free country. And so I don't usually ask you guys to do this because there's just so much outrage out there. For whatever reason, I think that some Democratic politicians are scared to speak out about immigration because they think it's a loser. And I think that's wrong on all counts, politically, ethically, morally. And so I know a lot of you guys live in blue states. And even if you live in red states, you can do this. I'd ask you to call your senators and ask them to publicly demand that DHS and the State Department provide documentation for their rationalization for removal of these individuals to the San Salvador hellscape. The number's 202-224-3121. It's easily Googleable. The representatives need to know that people fucking care about this, that we actually still care about America as a country that welcomes the oppressed throughout the world, that we care about human rights. I think a lot of them, because of the election of Trump for the second time, rightfully think that people don't care. We need to understand that they need to be made to care about this. So I'd ask you to do that. Call your senators today. It will make a difference. It will matter if they start hearing from people about this, particularly the Democratic senators. I think they will be less scared to speak out. But even the Republican senators, I got to tell you, the Marco Rubio, there's a great Greg Sargent article this morning. Marco Rubio has been the point person on almost all of the most noxious shit from this administration so far. And, you know, there are people in the Cuban and Venezuelan communities that can have an influence on him. And the fact that Donald Trump kind of in an interview pushed this off on Marco and said, you know, when he was asked about the Alien Enemies Act, he said he didn't sign it, which is very strange in itself. I think there's more reporting to be done on that, but said that this was all something over at state. So, I mean, Trump has dumped this on Marco. Marco's boss has said he's the point man for these heinous deportations. So Marco should have to speak to it. Tom Homan should have to speak to it, saying we just trust our guys. That's not okay. We cannot disappear people on the word of Tom Homan and Marco Rubio. If there's something else you want to do, Lindsay works for Immigrant Defenders. You can go to immdef.org and support the work of their lawyers. The lead lawyers on the Alien Enemies Act case are at the ACLU. So if you want to support them, we'll put these links in the bio, but go to the ACLU's Immigrants Rights page and you can donate to them as well. So I hope you enjoy. Me and Bill, we had some fun in Arizona, some dark topics, as you see at the beginning. But we got some laughs as well. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back here tomorrow with an old friend of the pod. So we'll see you all then. Hey, everybody. What's happening? Good to be back in Arizona. Been looking for Carrie Lake around every corner. Making sure she doesn't come after me.
Tim won't be able to stay at the reception because he's got a private little thing with Carrie Lake afterwards. So.
For those who listen to the Bulwark Podcast, me and Bill get together on Mondays. So we're just going to do the Monday podcast on Saturday, if that's okay with all of you guys. So we're going to play a little pretend, and I'm going to start it right now. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Miller, live here in Phoenix, Arizona, with Bill Kristol. All right, so me and Bill were talking about what to discuss. And, do you want to do banter first, or should we just get straight into the shit?
I just have one question. I've been in Arizona a fair amount. My college roommate from many years ago lives up here north of Scottsdale. If you're from Phoenix, for the Phoenix area, do you root for or against the University of Arizona?
In the tournament.
Oh, you do?
Four.
Okay.
Again.
So you don't hate...
Ooh, oh, Mitch.
You don't hate Arizona the way people in other states hate the other school or whatever?
Let's fight. No.
Good. Well, good luck tomorrow against Oregon. And then our oldest daughter and son and her husband, our son-in-law, went to Duke, so I won't be with you guys on next weekend. Right.
I will be.
The rest of America will be rooting for you guys.
All right, we could do a little Mike Bibby talk or something, but I guess we should probably move on. I want to, we'll end with some happy talk because we're starting really dark. I don't know if anybody has seen a story from Time Magazine that just came out about 1 hour ago. It's about the most enraging shit I've ever seen, actually. Bill, have you had a chance to take a look at it?
You know, I did, and we've both been angry and indignant and about what's the deportation of the Venezuelans to El Salvador without any due process, without any proof that they're particular gang members, without anything, at the say-so of the president, I suppose, and his team of eager deportations, fanatics. But even, I don't know, did we expect it to be this bad? I mean, we were alarmed and indignant, and also indignant that not enough other people were indignant. But anyway, Tim.
I remain that indignant. I'm going to read one little bit for you guys so you can understand why my blood is about to boil. The intake began with slaps. One young man sobbed when a guard pushed him to the floor. He said, "I'm not a gang member. I'm gay. I'm a barber." I believed him, but maybe it's only because he didn't look like what I had expected. He wasn't a tattooed monster. Inside the intake room, a sea of trustees descended on the men with electric shavers, stripping heads of hair with haste. The guy who claimed to be a barber began to whimper, folding his hands in prayer as his hair fell. He was slapped. The man asked for his mother, then buried his face in chained hands and cried as he was slapped again. We're doing that shit to these people. That's us. That's the United States that is doing that. This man, I don't know anything about him. We don't know because he didn't have due process. We don't really know what the truth is. His lawyer, we interviewed for on our YouTube page, right. Sam Stein did, and she is adamant that he's not a member of Tren de Aragua. The Adrian Carrasquillo, who writes for us, has written quite effectively, actually giving examples of past cases, like dating back to the first Trump administration, where we misidentified people's tattoos. The most striking example he gave that I saw was of a guy that had a tattooed lyrics that were actually from a pro-Trump reggaeton artist. The fact that that exists is weird. but it was like, it was like one word different from what the gang slogan was. And so the guy got arrested over it. And, you know, I just, like, this is the one to me that we absolutely have to speak out about and be outraged about and protest about. We cannot let this happen. There is, and Bill, I'm interested in your take on this, but there is, I think, a too cute view from some in the Democratic movement, Never Trumpers, pro-democracy, across the board, that, like, immigration is a loser. We can't talk about immigration. You know, Trump won a mandate on this. Like, Trump, like, people support the deportations. You know, people support the wall. And I guess my view on this is I don't fucking care. I do not care. We are how many days? Where's the sign? We are 590 days away from an election. Like, that is so far. And if we cannot get up the passion to fight for this, this young man who has been sent to a fucking hellscape, like to this RoboCop dystopia with no due process, with no rights, if we can't be mad for him, then I think that everybody's going to be in for a rude awakening with what else is coming next in the next 590 days. So I don't know what you think about that, Bill.
No, I'm totally with Tim. Just two things, and just one footnote. You realize these people were in detention. This is not a case where sometimes you arrest someone, it's a ticking time bomb, something horrible is about to happen, you can't follow every nicety of, you know, due process, perhaps. You get them off the streets first, and then you worry a little, you know, a day or two later, maybe a week or two later even, about exactly, you know, what. But these people were in detention. That's how they could put them on the plane, right? They were not a threat to anyone. Most of them probably are gang members. They were detained in the United States. We have good prisons. They weren't going to escape, you know? I mean, so what was the hurry? What was the need to go? The hurry was to avoid the court order, to avoid judicial review, to avoid problems of due process, and to establish the predicate that they could do it. And I think that's so important because it starts with them, but now we know that 500,000 plus people are about to lose their temporary protected status and they'll be undocumented. And, you know, a few of them will have some criminal record, I suppose, or maybe they'll have the same name as someone else who has a criminal record. So I think we're on a horrible slope down. And I totally agree with Tim about the, I'm just infuriated. I had a conversation with actually a Democratic member of Congress, a good guy and a good member, actually, someone I agree with on almost everything. And it's like, Bill, this isn't the hill we should die on. If I hear that phrase again, I'm really going to lose it, first of all. You know, someone else said at a recent conference I was at, well, you're playing into Trump's hands when you make a big issue of these immigrants. And it's like, if I hear that, Trump's president of the United States. What does playing into his hands mean? He'll get 0.2% increase in popularity for 2 weeks, as you say, 18 months out from the election. It's so insane. So I'm very annoyed that everyone is overthinking the reaction and not having a genuine human reaction to really atrocious behavior by the government of the United States. It's our government that is sending people who have had no due process, done it in obviously a very slipshod manner, with people's names getting confused and so forth, and some innocent people put in. And some of the guilt, quote, guilty people haven't been, you realize, found guilty of a crime. They may be, you know, not the most savory characters in the world, but in America, usually, and maybe they should be deported if they're here without documentation. But that's very different from locking them up and sending them to this hellhole in El Salvador for a year. I mean, who knows for how long, incidentally. Ugh.
Yeah, a few things on that. One is some of these people are legal, right? Like, if you came from Venezuela under TPS, you're not actually an illegal immigrant. You're not undocumented.
Not at all.
And so we're sending legal residents, legal immigrants here, people that were made legal by a TPS that was supported by the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, very passionately. He supported giving these people back a TPS back in 2019. The other thing, to the playing into Trump's hands, you know what is actually playing into Trump's hands is just conceding that all of these people are gang members and that we can't fight for any of their rights. That's what's playing into Trump's hands. Okay, like actually making him defend their actions is how you said, look at what happened the first time. Again, it's like people have, you know, it's like memento, like they've lost their memory from the first term. That we did fight him on immigration stuff. We did stop child separation. There were victories on that. I mean, it was not as good as it could have been, but there were people who regained their rights because of the pushback against their behavior in the first term. So that pisses me off. And here's the other thing about what they're coming for people next. So there's this guy, I don't know if you know, Mayflower American Chamath Palihapitiya. He's on the All In podcast with David Ballsacks, who's now the crypto czar. He's friends with Elon, and he's become a big Trump supporter, huge donor to Trump. He was out yesterday, and we're kind of having a little Twitter fight about it, which I shouldn't be doing by the pool today, but he's out there saying,
that's what you do when you come to Arizona, to sit by the pool. You know?
Yeah.
Normal people might sit by the pool, swim, but Tim's on.
I'm shit posting.
Don't distract me with that pool. I might make a Twitter fight.
Yeah. I'm shit posting in my Speedo this afternoon. But this guy, and again, it's not just a random, it's worth saying, this is not just a random podcaster. It's somebody that speaks to Elon, the co-president, speaks to David Sachs, who is in the White House, I assume speaks to Trump. And he's saying that the Tesla vandals or whatever, even if they are legal Americans, even if they're American citizens, should be denaturalized and sent to El Salvador.
Well,
and that's where this is going.
And Trump said, remember a week ago he had this goofy tweet, you know, the Tesla vandals, that's domestic terrorism. And everyone dismissed that as that's Trump being Trump, and he's using the phrase, he doesn't really understand what he's doing. And then it turns out, guess what? Pam Bondi is thinking about charging them, trying to increase their vandalism crime or whatever, you know, and destruction of property crime to a case of domestic terrorism. So all these things that are dismissed as Trump being Trump and don't make a mountain out of a molehill, and you're playing into his hands when you get too upset about something he says. It turns out in the second term, this wasn't true in the first term, where there were genuine guardrails within the administration and to some degree outside as well, even in Republicans in Congress. Now there are no guardrails. And so you need to take what he says seriously, because so far the evidence is everything he says they do a week later, and things are proceeding much more quickly through the stages of authoritarian takeover than even we expected.
And they have real, and this is happening inside the FBI, inside the Department of Justice, they're like using resources for people that, you know, were, you know, whatever they were doing before, looking after drug smugglers or rapists or whatever other, you know, types of people the FBI was looking at, and instead they're moving those resources to focusing on the Tesla vandals. So, by the way, I don't support Tesla vandalism, but again,
I didn't do that. I'm going to be, oh my God, I'm going to be hauled out of here in about 20 minutes, you know.
Associate
of domestic terrorism, you know, right?
Bill's going to San Salvador.
For the record, I don't support it. Right.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
All right. I want to move on to what is going on in our negotiations with Russia. I want to
it's
get
one cherry topic after another up here. Which...
Yeah, things are going great over there. I really want to dial in on Steve Witkoff. You know, there's so many ridiculous characters in this administration that it's hard to keep track of all of them. And I feel like Steve's fallen a little under the radar. So we're going to play a Steve Witkoff-related game here in a second. But before we do that, what's your biggest picture on the state of play as with regards to the negotiations?
I mean, it's terrible. We're negotiating against Ukraine and mostly on Putin's behalf with an occasional fake request of Putin, which he scornfully denies. And then Trump says, okay, I guess, and I'm going to go back to beating up Ukraine. I mean, it's shameful to abandon, obviously, to abandon Ukraine, I believe, to Putin. And the overall reversal of U.S. foreign policy and undermining 80 years of a foreign policy that basically has kept things a lot better than they were before and a lot better than they will be after we abandon this liberal international order and our role in sustaining it is just terrible as a policy matter. But then the particularly shameful treatment, the thing with Zelensky, remember he was so upset with Zelensky in the Oval Office, remember J.D. Vance and Trump, oh, he's so rude. Putin then goes out of his way to keep Trump waiting on the phone for an hour, right? Do you realize, did you read the stories about that? He's speaking at a conference, some fake, you know, business leaders conference or something, and his oligarchic friends and, you know, and dependents in Moscow. His Peskov, that press spokesperson, comes up and says publicly, Mr. President, you're scheduled now for the phone call with Trump, and he's like, he can wait. And he goes on for like 50 minutes then, just out of his way to just humiliate Trump. Trump's not upset by that rudeness, though. You know, Putin, what Putin does is fine.
Here's why he's not upset. So our chief negotiator, which is, by the way, not the Secretary of State, not the President, not even the original person, Keith Kellogg, who is a military veteran who had been, you know, set to be the envoy for this. No, instead it's Steve Witkoff, a real estate guy from New York, whose kids are in a crypto scam with the Trump kids. So that's he's our point man in Amsterdam. He was on Tucker Carlson's show, which is naturally what you do after a big interview. And usually at this point on the podcast, I'd play you a clip, but we don't have that ability here, so I'm going to do a dramatic reading. Tucker. What'd you think of Putin? Witkoff. I liked him, man. Tucker. Yep, Witkoff. I thought he was straight up with me. First of all, I thought it was gracious of him to accept me. Tucker. It takes balls to say that. Witkoff. Yeah, I mean, if you don't, you know, in our country, if you don't act like a lemming and just walk off a cliff like everybody else, then, you know, you get attacked. So that's the first part. I'm going to fast forward. Do you have any thoughts on that before I keep going?
You're on such a roll, I feel
okay.
Like.
Witkoff. He told me a story, Tucker, about how when the president was shot, he went to his local church and he met with his priest and he prayed for the president.
Not because he was the president of the United States or could become the president of the United States, but because he had a friendship with him. And he was praying for his friend. I mean, can you imagine sitting there listening to these kinds of conversations? And I came home and delivered that message to our president. And I delivered a painting that was given to the president by the greatest Russian artist. And the president was clearly touched by it.
Yeah, well, he'll do a good job negotiating, really, with tough guy, tough-minded negotiator. Who, our Mona Charon, who's coming up, I think, right after us, wrote a book 20 years ago, 25 years ago, called Useful Idiots, about this was when Mona and I were conservatives, and this was an attack on...
Mona's still a conservative.
A justified, yeah, good point. A justified attack, though, on people who were credulous about the Soviet Union, way back from the 30s and 40s, who pretended the purges weren't happening and the famine and Stalin's horrible totalitarianism, and the phrase useful idiots was coined. Mona could explain. I think it was coined a while ago, and Mona used it for the title of her book. But, I mean, this is such a level of useful idiocy. This is a more idiotic form of useful idiocy. But unfortunately useful, right? I mean, he'll go, quote, negotiate. And it's like the media, has that Witkoff interview with Tucker gotten much attention? I don't think so, right?
It's a little, but like...
Not, it's not it's like... Shouldn't that be kind of an unbelievable outrage?
I mean, he's bringing home than a Peskov.
Painting, a painting of Trump that Putin has given him, and it's a deeply moving moment. I mean, what are
we... A Russian artist? It's like, could you imagine sitting there listening to these conversations? I'm like, no, I couldn't imagine sitting there in these conversations. I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Where am I? Like, what do you mean? Putin went to church? Putin is stealing children and killing people indiscriminately. Like, we're supposed to be this credulous to like think that Putin really like went to his Russian Orthodox church and was praying deeply for Donald Trump because he cares about his soul, and that Donald Trump was genuinely touched by this. Has Donald Trump been genuinely touched by anything in his life? How fucking stupid is this person? He is the point man. Okay, it goes on. Tucker to Witkoff. Do you think the Russians want to march across Europe? Witkoff, 100% not. Why would they want that? I wouldn't want those countries. Like, why would they? Witkoff, first of all, why would they want to absorb Ukraine? They don't want to. What? They did. They did try. They tried. And then Witkoff goes on to talk about how the big sticking point is these five territories, but he can't remember their names. He's a point person that they want. And he's like, those Russian territories are the only ones that they want. And it's like they're bombing Kyiv. Right. They're bombing Kyiv right now. They bombed Kyiv last night. Like, what? Does he even believe it? I think there's some evidence he believes it when we get to the next segment of the interview. But what do you make of all this?
We need to get to the next segment.
Well, here's what makes me think he believes it. Because he does the same thing when it comes to our friends in Qatar. In case you're not familiar, Qatar has been sponsoring Hamas financially and also protecting the Hamas leaders that are hiding in Qatar. Well, Witkoff, because we can't find anybody else, is also the point person for the negotiations with Qatar and Hamas and Israel. And so he brings up this and says to Tucker, Witkoff and Sheikh Mohammed, the prime minister of Qatar, he's a good man. He's really, Tucker, he certainly is. Witkoff, he's a special guy. He really is, and he cares. And I spent a lot of time with him and broken bread with him. And he's just a good, decent human being who wants what's best for his people. Weren't all our friends, the neocons, really upset about the Biden administration's like lack of outrage towards Hamas? I mean, this guy is just out there sucking off the guy that's funding Hamas. And Putin. He's our point man. How do you feel about this? You're Jewish. These are your people, not mine.
It sounds like a bit of a... I'm Jewish and Tim isn't. That's what that refers to. I am not defending Witkoff, no. I mean, it's humiliating. It's embarrassing. Can you imagine if one of our allies incidentally looks at this? What are they? I mean, honestly, it's a mirror. The Europeans have done pretty well, I'd say, given that Trump has behaved so horribly in the sense that they seem to be wanting to step up. I'm not sure they can because they don't have, obviously, the resources we do to help Ukraine and to resist Russia. But they know that, yeah, they know the truth about Putin invading Ukraine. It is. I was a Reaganite. I had a certain amount of disdain for the Europeans. They were kind of, they didn't chip in as much as they should have on defense. They didn't understand. They were cynical, sort of realpolitik. They didn't want to defend democracy. I've got to say, I find myself rooting for the Europeans all the time in the last 2 months. And I won't say rooting, I wouldn't say rooting against our country. I don't believe in that. But I mean, certainly agreeing with all these European leaders and not agreeing with Mr. Witkoff.
We're the French in this situation. We've become the French.
Yeah, we're the Vichy French. Not, you know, so.
Yeah, right. We're the Vichy French. All right.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
That was excellent what Tim did. I did not know he had this imitation.
Thank you.
Tucker Carlson, I'm surprised. Usually when we've done a couple
What's
of these
so
panels
funny?
And Tucker comes up, Tim then reminds people that I gave Tucker his first job in Washington, that he worked for the Weekly Standard.
Boo.
This is why I'm just doing this here, because Tim was probably saving that for the end to make sure that I went off to a chorus of boos, you know.
Never worked for Tucker. We're going to get to your evolution last. Actually, we've got one more sad story first. I just kind of want to let you kick off on Paul Weiss at George Conway yesterday. We had a conversation. I've never seen George that mad, I don't think, actually. I mean, like, he was, he had smoke coming out of his ears. He was so fired up. I think, again, it's kind of like me talking about the Republican strategists that I know, who I know better. Like, the people that you know, the family feuds are the most personal. And so George knows these guys, Paul Weiss. And for people who missed it, this law firm that was being targeted by Trump, you know, the head of it basically goes to the White House, grovels to Trump, says that we'll do $40 million in pro bono services for, like, Trump administration interests. So we'll see what that, like, entails. Boy, I mean, it's a pretty astonishing capitulation. So I don't know. Do you have two minutes on that before we?
I have 1 minute on that. I mean, so Covington & Burling, the Washington D.C. firm, that was the first one Trump targeted because one of their partners was offering pro bono defense work to Jack Smith, who did his job as a Justice Department employee. He's a career employee. He doesn't have a huge amount of money that I know of, and so they offered to defend him pro bono if the government came after him, which surely it is, and so Trump went after Covington, stripped security clearances, tried to really ruin their business. Federal government isn't going to work with you, deal with you. Obviously, if you're a business and you hire a law firm, you might have business with the federal government. just routine, I mean, routine business, not even Trump-related business, and you need to deal with various agencies, with someone from EPA, if you have an environmental issue, with someone from Commerce, in an above-board way. I mean, just with legal representation to, you know, and that so it really can cripple a law firm's business, what Trump is doing. And even if they can't legally do quite what he says, the notion that businesses get that, well, this firm is blackballed by Trump, and with all, with Bondi and everyone else going along, and all the cabinet secretaries being so servile, you know, you'd worry even about hiring Covington, even if legally they can go meet with people, because there'll be a huge, you know, like mark of Cain on your forehead if you've hired Covington. Covington can resist this. There's a second firm, Perkins Coie, which Trump has gone after. And so they got representation to fight back. They got a temporary restraining order stopping Trump from doing it, because it's probably unconstitutional what he's trying to do, to punish people for protected speech. And then Perkins Coie is a relatively small firm, huge amount of government work. They will be put out of business if they don't succeed in overturning what Trump's done. They may get put out of business anyway. Because honestly, if you're running a company here and you've got issues in Washington, do you hire Perkins Coie? I mean, it's a risky thing, right? You have to be kind of courageous to. Then Paul Weiss, massive New York firm, wildly successful, well-established, long tradition of pro bono work. They boast about it on their website, actually. Civil rights work, some really admirable stuff back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, actually, and even later, probably. They are the ones who don't, they could fight. They could have helped, they could have helped get other people to stand together for Perkins Coie and for not letting him target law firms. And again, once it's law firms, why won't it be, you know, a lot of other entities as well, right? And instead, they capitulate. I think that the degree to which that has sent a signal to everyone to capitulate. Final point on this: I was on a text chain with a bunch of lawyers, and then they were outraged and horrified. But then it was like, but they're going to pay a huge price. I mean, people are going to leave. Partners won't put up with that. Clients are going to say, "What are you doing?" And I've gotten so inured, partly because of the 9 years with the Republican Party at this point, but also seeing the last 2 months. I said, I bet no one leaves. I bet we see no high-profile resignations. I mean, Paul Weiss has Jay Johnson, former Obama cabinet secretary, Loretta Lynch, former Obama deputy attorney general, as senior partners there. I haven't heard a word from them. I haven't heard a word from anyone at most of the major firms to saying, you know, and in fact, the letter that's been circulated to try to get people to sign on to the amicus brief on behalf of Perkins Coie, they can't get signatures. Very respectable letter drafted by the former Solicitor General, and the firms are saying, we don't really want you, a senior partner, on this. Do it if you know it's a free country, you could sign it, but it might hurt our business. The other partners are concerned. I bet they know. Here's the really sad thing: they will pay no price. They will make more money next year because clients will come to them thinking, well, they can deal with the Trump people, and I'm going to abandon some firm that has some people representing pro bono immigrants and so forth, right? And so the degree to which the authoritarianism is going beyond authoritarianism within the government to authoritarianism in society as a whole and institutions that deal with the government, universities, law firms, and then, you know, this is the really pernicious thing that's happening. And I do think that it's a law firm. We shouldn't exaggerate it. It's one incident, but I think it could be, when historians write this sad story of the first 2, 3, 4, 5 months, I hope it's only that much of the Trump administration, but the real decline and the attempt to really impose authoritarianism, not just within the government, but on the society, this will be a big moment. This will be a big moment.
Yeah.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a 4-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
I think it relates also to our point in the first topic too, which is like courage is contagious, and this is why it's worth fighting Trump on every ground right now, not picking spots, because if they have failures in certain areas, then that could give people in other areas the backbone to be like, wait a minute, like, I don't need to be scared of these guys. I don't need to do that, you know? So anyway.
I mean, the judges have been pretty good so far, and some of the pro bono, some of the public interest law firms, the ACLU, again, 20 years ago, an organization I would have been arguing with all the time, fantastic representation in the El Salvador case. And Judge Bostad has really been courageous and hardworking and impressive. But it would be nice if more people spoke out and praised him, right? I mean, I don't see a lot. Yeah, former judges, former Republican attorneys general, former, I mean,
and
Mike
Roberts Luda, kind of did.
What Roberts kind of did. No, I mean, it shows how far Trump has gone that Roberts felt he had to put out the statement he did. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I got this text yesterday from a friend. Imagine showing this to Bill Kristol in 2003. And then there was a tweet I saw that said, how do you even begin to explain this to someone in 2004? The same tweet that these guys are both talking about. It's from this thing called Pop Bass. They wrote, Bernie Sanders and AOC's fighting oligarchy rally in Denver on Friday night had over 34,000 people attending. The quote tweet from Pop Bass, it's interesting that Bill Kristol follows Pop Bass, is Bill Kristol with three clapping hands emojis. So, Bill, what would 2003 Bill say about that? They probably think you're being sarcastic. 2003 Bill, what do you think 2003 Bill would think about that tweet?
I think he'd be impressed that I had, was open-minded enough to have one. And you know what? I mean, I may have been wrong about some things back then. I suppose I probably was. But I thought we were fighting for democracy. I do think what everyone thinks of Bush and some of the, obviously, the torture and rendition stuff is very bad. But on the whole, the Bush administration respected, actually, court decisions and civil rights and didn't think we should deport Muslims because they were Muslims, right, if they were here in America and so forth, and gave a speech, what, 10 days after 9/11, explained saying that we can't be at war with a religion and so forth. So I feel like there's some consistency there. But yeah, no, I think didn't AOC and Bernie have a rally right in Tucson this afternoon? Were some of you there? Did you come from that? Look at this. Who would have thought that, right? Sarah, you should ask Sarah.
What would you have thought in 2003?
Ask Tim about that. Yeah. What about 2003, Tim? He wouldn't have expected that people would come from the AOC Bernie Sanders rally to see us.
Well, you know? I wouldn't have known. Me and AOC were both smoking pot back then, like hitting the bong then. We would have been in college. It is a strange thing. What do you just kind of just briefly like make of the energy around them? Do you think it's ideological? Do you think it's just that they're out there channeling the rage that people have? A little bit of both?
I mean, I'd say both. I mean, but I don't think it's that. I listened actually to one of Bernie's speeches at one of the earlier rallies. It's not particularly left wing. I mean, it's just attacking Trump in exactly the same way we would. I mean, if he gets into his healthcare plan, it's more, you know, big government than I would like. But that's not what he's talking about. To his credit, I would say this, compared to some of the moderates who are, we can't die on that hill. We have polling from 4 months ago that show that actually the people are in favor of deporting people to El Salvador. I mean, whatever, they have some bad polling or some stuff that might have been true 4 months ago, but isn't necessarily true 2 months into the Trump administration. Anyway, AOC and Bernie are more used to sort of ignoring the pollsters and fighting, and so I think that's a big advantage they have, and fighting, and they hate the oligarchs and the plutocrats, and they're right to in this instance. They might not have been always right about that we have to be as against wealth as they are, but in this case, they are right. The other thing, someone made a good point to me about, I was saying, why are the most effective people like the ACLU, NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, and these people, as opposed to the mainstream legal types? And my friend made a very good point. He said, look, they're used to fighting the government. They don't have, most of us, including us liberals, not just conservatives, this is bipartisan, sort of respect the government. We mostly kind of think the government's probably doing things with good intentions. We might disagree with the policy, but, you know, I didn't think the Obama administration was trying to destroy America. I thought some of the policy initiatives were bad. There were some legal interpretations I could have quibbled with. Their judicial appointments were a little different from Bush's or from, you know, others. But, I mean, one's used to sort of giving the government the benefit of the doubt if you're a mainstream liberal or a mainstream conservative. That's what you do in a healthy society, right? We have a democracy. It's our government. We hope it works out. We're not always thrilled with every policy. They are, in a way, more suspicious. If you're if you spent 50 years representing blacks in the South, if you were the ACLU and you represented really unpopular causes at different times, you're used to the government being not just ill-advised, but somewhat malevolent, and sometimes lying about what they're doing, and sometimes going outside the law to do what they do. And so in a weird way, not a weird way, but I think the left actually, at this moment, has a little more grasp of the situation than some of our moderate friends.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that there is more anger at the system, right? And it's anger at the Trump administration, but anger at the failures of the system that I think some in us, like the Bulwark, but center-left folks, too, Democrats, have missed a little bit. And I thought it was interesting, like the connecting line. I interviewed Wes Moore, you know, on the pod this week. He's great, if you haven't listened to it. I really like Wes. But, you know, and his ideologically is very different from AOC, and who knows, in 2028, maybe... You know, they'll be bitterly fighting each other about whatever
it'll,
this or that.
It'll be a good ticket after they fight in the primaries.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
they'll have
you
to
go.
Decide which one is on the top of the ticket and which one's number two, so that'll be a bit of an issue.
The interesting thing is that they both are channeling this. People are upset. Like, the system is not serving them. People are upset at the Trump administration, for sure. But they're upset at the other ways that people have been failed. And we need to speak to that. And that Democrats... in the kind of Hillary through Kamala through Biden era, weren't as sharp as was called for. It was interesting, I think, that two people that are doing very well right now politically, but who are of different sides of the party, are both channeling that same, you know, kind of contrary fighting tone.
And I was struck that moderate Democrats tend to be somewhat more contact with them than with AOC and Bernie Sanders, though I'm fine with them too. The moderate Democrats were as angry about the Chuck Schumer interview. Not so much the decision to close the government or not was, I think, a tough tactical decision, to be fair. But then he did then he had the book tour, which he did cancel. But that's really good timing when Trump's destroying America to go off on a week-long book tour and all this. But then that interview he did with the New York Times, maybe you saw that, and that's where he's going, you know, it's going to work out. Trump's numbers are going to go down. And I work out. These Republicans, they're a little intimidated by Trump now, but I work out with them in the Senate gym. First of all, that's like something you can't unsee, right? So that's a problem. And secondly, and they're going to be okay. And you really feel like he is not living in 2025 America. And I'd say the moderates I talked to were as indignant and as outraged and really see that there needs to be a change in leadership.
Yeah. So, and AOC and Connor Lamb were joint dunking on John Fetterman together. So, you know, the world is healing on the left. All right, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, give it up for Bill Kristol.